alright. Alright, alright, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. At least that's what she used to always say.
Hello everyone, welcome to the latest edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each episode, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome Pretty Jimmy Dream and the New Age Nasty Boy Adam Ugly, known collectively as the tag team Pretty Ugly, to the program. Jimmy and Adam are going to talk about their unique style in the ring and their history as a successful tag team. Jimmy Dream and Adam Ugly, welcome to OWW Radio.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I have wanted to have you guys on the show now for a while. You're one of my favorite tag teams working today. I love your unique style in the ring and the way you just really work well together. You guys have known each other for a long time outside the ring, correct?
Yeah, 17 years. We went to high school together. We've been friends since the ninth grade.
When you guys were in high school together, were you just big wrestling fans?
Yeah, we were huge marks. And, like, I used to wear a Raven t-shirt all the time. He used to wear a Shawn Michaels t-shirt all the time. We used to pass each other in the hallway. And then we, like, started, like, you know, talking about wrestling and watching the pay-per-view at each other's houses and stuff like that. It's pretty fun.
So, Adam, in a way, it was, like, wrestling that brought you guys together.
Yeah, I mean...
For the female race.
Yeah, that, and, you know, we love females. They're great.
Well, those are good things to have in common. When you were watching wrestling, though, you know, it's a big difference watching it on television and then to decide you're going to train and, you know, put your bodies through this and learn the art, Jimmy. What made you decide then to actually want to do this?
Just been a fan of it my whole life, and I always wanted to try it. Like, I always was in the mindset at a very young age that this is what I wanted to do. As soon as I, you know, graduated high school, I wanted to do this. I've always thought that. I can't remember not thinking it. Like, I've thought it my whole life. For me, that's been the goal my whole life. So,
where did you start training, Jimmy? Because I think I talked to Louis G. Rich recently, and I think he trained with you, but I don't believe it was at a wrestling school.
Well, yeah, we trained at Bone Breakers Pro Wrestling Academy in Baltimore. And
okay.
Years after that, we trained with Axel Rotten. Adam and I both actually trained Louis Rich. So that's the pedigree there.
And Adam, the two of you basically were always in training together?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Jimmy started like a month before I did, right? And then he just went back and he's like, you really got to do this thing. You got to do this thing. Because it really wasn't like a question, like, of I got to do this thing. It was like, should I go to this particular school or is there going to be something better? And he's like, no, this is like the only thing around. So he went to the only thing around. And, you know, I signed up a month later, but Jimmy was sitting there showing me everything that he learned every day. You know, he just came back and, you know, showed me everything he was kind of like doing at the school. And so when I walked into the school, you know, my first day, I'm thinking, well, I'm going to know everything and whatever. My first day at wrestling school was, hey, go set up for this birthday party, kid. It's kind of fun.
Well, I've had some opportunities to go to some wrestling schools and watch the training. It's a lot more intense, a lot more brutal than I even thought. I mean, Jimmy, people don't understand how physical.
Oh yeah, it's very hard on the body. Adam and I are both in our early 30s, and we hurt all the time. We complain to each other all the time, like our backs hurt or our butts hurt, like everything hurts. It's just we're just hurt. It's very tough on the body. Absolutely.
I mean, it's really tough when you're like one of those guys that doesn't do pain pills or anything else. Neither one of us are like on drugs or even care to do them, so. A lot of the older guys that did a bunch of drugs, you can see they don't walk right anymore, but they were trying to push themselves through, you know, to, you know, wrestle better or whatever, and now they're just all messed up.
Well, I think that's been documented a lot more in the past 10 years or so, right? You know, the things that people do because there's no off season. It's incredibly physical. All the travel, it's not as glamorous as a lot of people may feel. And certainly, like when I was growing up as a kid, I'm older than you guys, but we didn't understand what the wrestlers were doing when they were outside the ring. We have a lot more clarity as to the difficulties of you know, what it takes to get from town to town, right?
Oh, yeah. I just did 5 towns in a row, and, it's a lot. Like, it's very tiring, very demanding on the body again. And it's very hard and tough to get through, like, especially for the guys that do it, like, more for a living, like, that they're, you know, they're wrestling 5 days a week year-round. Like, it's tough. Like, I mean, just driving to town to town is very tough on the body, sitting in the car that long, then going and getting in the ring and wrestling after you worked out, too. Everything is just very demanding on the body, so that's the main reason so many people get, you know, caught up in drugs and alcohol, because they don't know where to turn. Their bodies are just killing them. So.
Well, Jimmy, after you started training, how long was it until you actually worked a match in front of a crowd?
In front of a real crowd, about 15 years. about a year. It took us about a year. We had very demanding training. We, like, a lot of the training done these days is very, like, poor. Like, she'll be in a ring in a month and a half and on a show, and it's very sad. Like, Adam and I, we had to wait a whole year before
Before that, there was guys, like, Axel told us, man, there was guys that, like, basically, I mean, it was kind of weird. They were on shows, like, instantly, but it's like, you're going to get on the show, you're going to get beat up by the tag team, and we're going to make TV off of this, but they wouldn't really be wrestlers until, like, 2-3 years from then. You know, they may have their tights and boots, but they're somebody else's tights and boots. They wouldn't get their characters or nothing like that back in their territory days. But, like, us, we had to wait a year, and then, like, when we were done our training, they were like, all right, see you later. And we were like, we're going to get a spot on the show. We're like, nope. So we went out and we had to go hit the road to go find spots and set up rings. And, you know, like, honestly, Jimmy and I did a thing for so many people around. We started, like, sort of a trend that people just kind of followed where, you know, nobody was making any grounds for us, so we made grounds for ourselves. We went to the promoters and we went and said, we'll do this, this, and this to get on the show. And, they're, you know, the promoters are, like, looking at us like we're stupid because, you know, they didn't understand, you know, and what we were going through or anything. So we were the ones that were like, hey, you know, nobody else was out traveling. They were all just trying to ride their little promotion at home. We're the ones out, like, going to, like, we went everywhere, Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Jimmy went all the way down to Georgia in early years and training for, like, what was it, $20 or something?
Yeah. We did what we had to do to, you know, to be on shows and get better and learn the craft. Like, we just really, really worked the road hard, yeah.
It was like, you know, when we first broke in, a lot of people say, you eat, sleep, and breathe this business. It was like, no, really, you had to, or else you weren't getting booked because, like, the home fed that we grew up in, basically they shut the doors down because they had enough of the BS and losing money and, you know, egos and all that type of stuff. You know, there's a lot with wrestling. Everybody wants to be the heavyweight champion of the world for some reason. And nobody really wants to, you know, kind of put the time in to help out with the company or any of that stuff. And the people that do, they get like an ego about that. So eventually those companies like that, they kind of fall to the wayside. They may come back, they may not, but they usually fall to the wayside when a bunch of egos are involved. But when it's like a team effort, like I think ACW, there's PPW, there's a bunch of companies out there now that, you know, 302, I can't even name all of them. There's some that we don't even work for that kind of got the idea now of some of the stuff that Jimmy and I were like all about that nobody else was about. And we had to go on the road and kind of make it how it is now in our little local area.
Mm-hmm. When you were going through training, did you work together as a tag team? I mean, I've seen a lot of tag teams, you know, of course, on television and worked with a lot, and I think you two have great chemistry in the ring, and I don't think that happens overnight. How much during your training, Jimmy, did you guys work as a team on your tag team psychology and the types of double-teaming moves that you would do?
Oh, in training, zero, zilch, none. We just train like Joey Mercury, back then was known as Joey Matthews, gave us great advice. He said, you have to be a great singles wrestler before you can be a great tag wrestler. You got to learn how to do it on your own before you learn to do it with someone else. So, you know, back then, like, you know, I wanted to team with someone else, like Adam and I never really thought about teaming back in those days. We just, you know, him and I both looked so much different. You know, like, we never, like, popped in our heads to team. So, we just never thought about it. And then, well, I mean, we got paired together years later, and this guy, Tristan Spade, gave us our gimmick Pretty Ugly, and we thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. we had fun doing it that night that he paired us up. We had so much fun, we just kind of continued to do it, and it continued to grow, and we've done a lot of cool things. You know, being the tag team Pretty Ugly, we've wrestled numerous legends, and won numerous tag titles, and wrestled numerous states and numerous promotions, like, so, but yeah, like, you know, going back to your question, we never in training ever teamed together or ever even teaming.
I mean, if we were teaming, it was like all the students versus all the guys that are already in, you know, and so basically we run in there, we get our ass kicked, and then we tag out to the next guy. So it wasn't like our training, our first training was like, we were being trained to, like, learn how to, you know, bump.
Fly,
and,
basically.
Yeah, you know, work on the fly, bump, and, you know, basic stuff, you know, do a suplex, do a scoop slams, you know, just simple, you know, I don't know, like the basic wrestling stuff. Because that's basically, I think, what they could teach us without telling us about psychology, because I think a lot of them didn't really have the psychology that Axel Rotten, when we got to know him, he had the psychology down, I mean, immaculately, if that's a word. I mean, he knew everything there was to tell us, not only to, you know, copy somebody else's style, but to create our own style, or, like, you know, just instead of just getting one guy's little spot, he could kind of, like, flow with it. So the first part of training was, like, you're just learning how the ring works and how to land and things like that. It wasn't until we learned, you know, got to actually be around Axel Rotten that we got any good at anything.
I think that's pretty interesting because I think there's, you know, obviously tag team psychology and a way to work a tag team match. You guys have great chemistry and great ability. And so it's interesting you don't actually work on that. And also what you said about you must be a great singles wrestler before you're a good tag team. So when you were going through the training, though, Adam, how much time did you spend on your promo work, you know, creating a character, talking in front of a crowd?
Well, like I said, with the training, they did some stuff like that. But, like, before we got into wrestling, in high school I was into acting, you know, television production, just stuff like that. I was always into that type of thing. So we kind of developed a thing. I always hated, like, I mean, I love the Road Warriors, but I always hated how long the promos were, right? So you're looking at the Road Warriors, and it goes from this guy to this guy to this guy, because they had Paul Ellering, too. So you had all three of them, right? And it just went on so long, and it was good. It was all good, but it was so long. And then I was like, there needs to be one guy talking, maybe the manager. So I kind of, like, took some of the miming experiences and stuff that I had from, like, high school and doing, like, little short films in high school and stuff. You know, we used to do, like, little scary horror movies and things like that. And I just started doing the miming in the background so Jimmy could have the promo. And it kind of worked out. Jimmy and I would put together these little promos, and I would say, hey, man, you should say this. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's great. And you'd come at, you know, we used to put together the promo together, and then Jimmy would go ahead and hit the promo, and I'd just do a lot of miming in the background to try to, like, accentuate the promo. And that way we could hit a 30-second promo or a 5-minute promo without you being annoyed with two guys going back and forth. You know, that was kind of like the style we were going for with that. You got to go watch some of the old breath holds. They're really good. I don't know what happened
on YouTube. Pretty Ugly presents the rest hold. Funny stuff. Check it out.
We're thinking about doing some more stuff like that, but we gotta set it all up again.
Yeah, one thing I like about Pretty Ugly is everything that you do from the minute you come through the curtain makes sense. Something that a lot of wrestlers don't understand. You can't just have the look and the name and say you're from Cuba or say you're a vampire or something like that. Everything has to kind of make sense. I mean, you know, Jimmy, but to you here directly, you know, the Pretty Jimmy Dream character, how has it changed over the years and gotten to the point now where it's as effective as it is?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely evolved. I mean, at first I had long hair and I just play with my hair and I, like, you know, act like I was like a pretty little girl at first. And now, like Pretty Jimmy Dream's completely different. Like, I don't have long hair. I just look like a punk. I have a mohawk. I wear the mascara. You know, I still spray the hair with the hairspray and all, but I don't act like girly like I used to. I'm more of like a punk that thinks he's hot stuff. And, you know, like, it's definitely evolved into something completely different than what it was when we first started. When we first started, I was literally just acting like a little girl. And then now I act tough, and you know, and I look more like a punk, like you see from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, than like, you know, mm-hmm. an ugly Barbie doll like I was trying to be when we first started this. So it's definitely involved in something completely different than what it was when we first started, for sure.
Now, you guys, obviously, the times I've worked with you, almost exclusively worked with you as tag teams. Do you still wrestle in singles competition, Adam?
Sometimes, you know, it's just like, okay, you're going to book us and we get over with the fans different ways and you can't always have us in the same category of tag team wrestling, not because they don't want to see us. I think they truly do want to see us as a tag team. But sometimes, you know, if you do something else with us, you know, you say, hey, look, this guy is going to do this for a while, this guy's going to do that for a while, it works out for us pretty good, because like Jimmy said earlier, we both learned to be singles wrestlers way before we learned to be a tag team. The thing that helped us out is Massive Mike used to have Maximum Championship Wrestling in front of all the 15 people, maybe less, and we used to, you know, we were like in feuds with each other and other people, and we would just be like, you know, wrestling in front of like nobody, and it worked out, you know, to help us out. So, like, there's single wrestling stuff. Yeah, I do some single wrestling every once in a while. And, like, Jimmy's a very, you know, he's not, like, he's never done a cycle or anything. So, he, like, he can go ahead and go towards the cruiserweight stuff. He can do a lot of, you know, fancy chain and stuff. And he can show guys a few things. So, it kind of helps out in, like, different divisions. And if there's something like, you know, where I can take like a big bump or something, I like doing big bumps. So, you know, Jimmy's not so much into the big bumps anymore, but I still like them. You know, he's pretty much done with all the stupidity. I still like some of the stupidity. You know, you'll never see Jimmy in a barbed wire razor death match, but me, probably not, but something close to it, maybe if it's a work.
I know that the WWE Network and YouTube, and there's all these great resources out there for wrestlers if they want to go back and watch classic matches and also other teams working today, Jimmy. Are there any other teams out there that you look to and try to learn from the way they work as a tag team?
Well, you know, we were always big on, like, the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express. And I mean, Ian, if you go back and watch those guys back then, like, it's still, you could still learn so much more from them. I think tag team wrestling's like completely different these days. It's, you know, it's not as like, I hate the word important, but it's not as important now, and it stinks, because tag team wrestling, you know, it's a core of a wrestling show. It's, you know, it's a cornerstone of a wrestling show, and it should be very important. And, like, you know, back in those days, a lot of the times the tag teams were the most popular things on the show, like the Rock and Roll Express, the Road Warriors, you know, like that, like Demolition on WWF, you know, they were, like, a lot of times more popular than singles wrestlers. And I mean, with New Day, with the New Day, I think it's getting back to that a little bit. Like, the New Day is very popular, and they're a trio, like the Freebirds were, and they're very popular, more so than a lot of guys, single guys on the show. So I'm hoping it's going back to that. But yeah, as far as learning, man, we really just watch the Rock and Rolls and the Midnights, and then Axel taught us a lot about tag team wrestling, because obviously he teamed with Ian. Him and Ian were a good team, and him and Balls were an even better team. So he had tag team wrestling experience, and we learned a lot from him. Guys like Christian York and, you know, Joey Matthews, who were a great tag team. You know, Joey went on to be a two-time WWE tag team champion with John Morrison. So, you know, we learned a lot from those guys as well.
You guys, your style and the way you use the ring always reminded me of the Hart Foundation a little bit, too. There was kind of the jackals running around the ring, stealing victories, and both very physically different. You know, the Anvil and Hitman as a team, very physically different, but were just great. Their styles blended together. I think the two of you remind me a little bit of that with your style. Looking back at your career as a tag team, Adam, who have been some of your favorite teams that you've worked with?
Well, the Rock and Roll Express is definitely up there. The Hellcats, because we worked them so many times, and we had, like, really awesome matches with them. The Wild Cards, they're always fun to work with. God, I don't know. There's, like, so many good tag teams. The thing that sucks, though, is a lot of guys aren't as dedicated to tag team wrestling as, you know, we were, or like the Wild Cards, or any, you know, but, so we've wrestled a lot of people that are like thrown together tag teams, or, you know, we had to make these guys look good or whatever. And, you know, it's not that we're above anything, cause you know, we're not, you know, we know what it is, but there's a lot of bad tag teams that kind of stick out to me that I'm not going to mention any names, but There's a few that, like, really, you know, we've had some great matches with. I can't really for us, it was supposed to be us versus the Hellcats was supposed to be the top thing you're going to see. But, you know, once we got through that and everybody started saying, and I mean, this isn't me, but other people were saying, hey, you know, you guys actually are better than them. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I still don't know. But they're saying, people keep telling me, oh, you were way better than them. So I was like, whatever, you know. Do we need some, like, people to go against that, are, you know, really want to take that? There's this team right now, 410 Massive or whatever. I hate their name. Their look is terrible. Everything is wrong with them. But they can work. The kids know what they're doing. They're very, very good. They're getting there, man. They got a lot of potential. I don't know. I mean, we'll probably beat them up a few more times, but you know, besides that, they're getting there.
But yeah. Also, we worked with the Briscoe Brothers a few times, and you know, I loved wrestling them until the part where we had to touch them.
There was always a lot of hype with those matches, but I mean, like, I was fine with, you know, they were a little tight. That's cool. They were a little tight, but then, you know, Jimmy's not the Jimmy likes the 80s style, you know, like, you know, it's all work, kid, you know. it's all good with me, so I don't know. They just kind of, like, when they slam you, they slam the shit out of you. When they hit you, they hit the shit out of you. So it can be fun if you're into that, but if you're not, if you're just like, man, I want to make money at this, it ain't your cup of tea, but they can go, too.
Well, I've worked with you guys in several states. So talk, though, about the difference in some territories you worked in, you know. Where are some of the best wrestling fans you've worked in front of, Jimmy?
Oh, man, it's, I mean, like, everybody's unique. Like, Maryland, there's a lot of smart fans. They're a lot, you know, they're a tougher crowd. Like, they're a lot harder to impress because they're very smart on our what we do. Delaware fans, we've been wrestling in front of Delaware fans our whole career. And, I mean, they're always fun. It's like family reunion when we go back there. You know, the Philly fans are the Philly fans. You get what you get with them. But, you know, the times that Adam and I have traveled to Philly, they've actually reacted to us very well. So they've been fun. The ones in Western Pennsylvania, those are ones that hate Adam and I the most. They just look at, you know, we look so different from them. that they just cannot stand us. You know, no matter, you know, there's been times where we try to be baby faces up there and they just won't have it. Like, we look too different from them. Like, they're, you know, country throwback, you know, like, they just, you know, that's not us at all. So, but yeah.
I mean, you know, they're like kind of like the hillbilly, you know, they're very proud of where they're from. You know, they say yins instead of y'all, or, you know, you guys or whatever. They say yins, which is, you know, one thing that bothers me, that they're like the Steelers. So, like, it's never going to be a like for those fans, really, from, you know, us either, because they don't speak correctly. They all smell bad, and they have bad hygiene. And, you know, so, yeah, I love going up there, and I never really want to be a good guy up there. It's just those people suck, and we're great.
Adam, I always introduce you guys from beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. That is the era you're originally from?
Originally, I'm from the Eastern Shore, Maryland. I just trained in Baltimore and learned how to wrestle in Baltimore. And, you know, it's kind of harder to say, hey, this guy's from Baltimore and this guy's over from the Eastern Shore of Maryland, you know, in a small town you probably never heard of, you know? Yeah. So it's easier to say beautiful Baltimore.
Yeah, I myself am originally from Baltimore and still live 8 miles from downtown. So,
well, yeah, I don't know if you guys are Ravens fans, but that doesn't work out in Pittsburgh either. So then maybe we.
We're huge Ravens fans. We used to do these bits up there where we would, you know, like they give us whatever time we wanted, because honestly, people were just paying to see us get beat up the whole time anyway, which we always, you know, win the match and then piss everybody off. But then they'd come back and see us get beat up by somebody else. So we used to do these little bits up there where we'd pull out our Ravens jerseys and really showcase the fact that we're Ravens fans in towns where you can't even buy Ravens gear except for online, but most of those guys didn't have online because they're so backwoods. Everything was Steelers up there, and we're showing off our brand new Ravens jerseys and talking about how great the Ravens were, and it really worked out days before. Like, we did these shows where it was like a night before they're about to play the Steelers, and so the hype was all there. We used to get hundreds of people in these, like, little venues. So it's kind of cool, like VFWs and fire halls and stuff. We used to sell them things out. All the fact that they just hated us.
Well, as a Cowboys fan, I miss the days when the Cowboy-Redskin games were great, great games. So I'm jealous that the Steelers and Ravens have kind of become, if not the best rivalry in the NFL, pretty damn close. Jimmy, I wanted to ask you, you're not only a professional wrestler, you also have a promoter's license, correct?
Yeah, I have a promoter's license in Maryland and Pennsylvania.
So what made you want to get involved in that side of the business?
I've always liked to write wrestling stories. Like, you know, we call it booking in our business. But I've always liked to do that. Even when we were teenagers, we used to do backyard wrestling, and I wouldn't just want to go out there and hit each other with weapons and wrestle around the yard and have fun. I wrote stories to it just because I don't know. I enjoyed doing it. So, I mean, when ACW first started, I was just a booker, and there was this, you know, we won't mention his name. It was just, you know, a money mark that started it. And once he started failing because he didn't know how to spend the money, I kind of just, you know, gave him the money for the belts and the banners, and I took it over, and, you know, knock on wood, I've been doing very well with it, and that gives me more of a drive to do it because it's making money. I like telling stories using the art form of professional wrestling. That is my drive, like, doing that. That's what I love to do, is write stories using the art form of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's been an honor to have Pretty Jimmy Dream and the New Age Nasty Boy Adam Ugly on OWW Radio tonight. Before we let you go, guys, please let us know where we can find you on social media.
Nah, it's okay. I don't want to talk to anybody now. there's a Pretty Ugly Facebook page that we never really do anything with, but yeah, it's facebook.com/PrettyUgly, and then there's Pretty Jimmy Dream on my Facebook, and Adam Ugly on his Facebook, both in parentheses, right? And you just, you know, and then our real names are in parentheses. So,
I mean, we never really kayfabe our real names or anything, so, but we're, I don't know. It's not a big deal. On Instagram, you can find me at Adam Ugly. It's pretty easy. You'll mostly see some of my drawings
that's
and other artwork.
That's a dream. Look at that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, but online you'll see most of my artwork and stuff like that, tattoos I've done and things like that, so.
Yeah, because you mentioned that you are a tattoo artist, correct?
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
About 4 years. I've been in an apprenticeship under a chick named Amy B. She's pretty cool. Bipolar chick, so she like loved me and then she hated me and then she loved me and then she hated me. But you know, it's fun.
It's kind of like how I am with you.
Yeah, same difference. But you're not, you don't have a big you know, rants going on how I'm an evil person and then tell me you love me. You just usually just tell me yeah, you screw that guy.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being on OWW Radio this evening. One last point, Adam. My son still talks about the time you showed him how to run the ropes after the show about a year or so ago in Delaware. So, you know, that was that. You know, it's those moments that you give back to the fans that they really do take with them. So thank you again for that.
Yeah, man, it's that's what we're there for, man. Those guys, like the fans, the kids, all them, they're way more important than we are. Even if he never becomes a wrestler, has anything to do with wrestling, if he liked the fact that I helped him out that one time and showed him some cool stuff, that makes my whole world, man.
Yeah, we actually love our fans. We treat our fans very well. Like the ones that do it, the ones we don't care about, we don't like that. But the ones like we're very different in that point where we, like people are cheering us, we will take to them if they're booing us because we're doing heel tactics. Well, so be it, but we are not cool with them. So,
right. I mean, but it never makes sense for us in the whole psychology world of, hey, you're supposed to be, you go out there shooting, you're going to be a bad guy. Oh, yes, sir. And then they start cheering you, and you're like, hey, don't cheer me, I hate you. That's so stupid. Or vice versa. Somebody says, I love you. Like, oh, I hate you. You know, what kind of sense would that make in any kind of real world scenario? Somebody tells you they love you. You're going to feel like, oh, thank you for loving me. Never the opposite. So any kind of diagram where they say you're supposed to be the bad guy, it's all in your acting or whatever. It's not about, you know, it's not about whether they actually like you or hate you. I mean, go out there and give them the time of their lives and make sure that they have fun.
No, I agree. Pretty Ugly. Pretty Jimmy Dream, New Age Nasty Boy, Adam Ugly, one of the best tag teams working today. Again, great having you guys on OWW Radio, and I look forward to working with you again soon.
All right, thanks, Dave. See you soon, bud.
All right, see you, man. We talk soon. Okay, see you.
Take care. Now, don't forget to check out OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM, and we'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Thanks again to Pretty Jimmy Dream and the New Age Nasty Boy Adam Ugly, collectively known as Pretty Ugly. Again, one of the best teams you will see. It was a great interview this evening. My name is David, and I will be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's okay.